Today is Holocaust Remembrance Day, marking the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising of 1943, the poorly armed and failed resistance of the Jews in German-occupied Poland in World War II. Those who did not die were transported to concentration camps. 80-year-old Pinchas Guter barely survived those camps. His parents and his 10-year-old twin sister were killed, and ever since, Guter has shared his story.
My name is Pinchas Guter. I will answer any questions you might have for me.
How old were you when the war ended?
I was between the ages of 13 and 14 when the war ended in 1945.
But that is not Pinchas Guter. It's a prototype of a new interactive hologram technology that will allow future generations of school children to ask Holocaust survivors their stories once they're gone. You can see what the technology looks like at hearnow.org. Paul DeBevic is Associate Director of the University of Southern California's Institute for Creative Technologies. He's developing it, and he joins us from NPR West. And Paul, so how does this work?
The technology records someone like Pinchas Guter from many different angles at the same time with a whole array of different video cameras. And as a result, we can then have computers develop a three-dimensional, more holographic-like image of them, which we can then project holographically at life size in a way that hopefully he'll look just as close to the way he would look if he were actually in a classroom addressing real people, answering questions from them.
Well, we've seen holograms. There's a flight attendant at the airport here at Boston's Logan Airport. But the difference here is these holograms are going to be interactive. How do you get the answers to them?
So by working with the Shoah Foundation at USC, which has been recording the stories of survivors of the Holocaust since the 1990s, the survivors are going to be asked a series of questions, which will actually take about 12 hours total over 3 days, answering any possible question that we could conceive of a student or somebody wanting to know. And working with the natural language group at USC's Institute for Creative Technologies, what they asked will be matched against this database of answers that are available, and the most appropriate answer will then be played back holographically to answer their question.
Is this where we get into Siri territory? Is this the same kind of technology on smartphones?
Absolutely. In order to understand what they're saying, it's going to use the Siri-like technology. But in order to match it to the best possible response from this database, that is using some new artificial intelligence technology that's been developed at USC ICT.
I was going to say, how has this been for you on the technological end, but yet you're listening to 12 hours of people talking about this painful subject?
Certainly working with Pinchas, it doesn't end up being completely somber. There are times where you're listening to what he has to say and you'll start crying. It's that hard. But at the same time, there is so much learnedness and warmth in the way that he delivers it that he can take you through that in a way that you can absorb it. And toward the end, he can even answer, you know, very lighthearted questions from the children.
Quite something. But meanwhile, this is, I'm sure, an expensive project. You have the backing of the Shoah Foundation. It's a profoundly important topic. But I can hear people saying, oh, I wonder how soon I can sit my grandma down just for her stories, you know, that we can have all the people in our lives be in a hologram.
We're managing to leverage a lot of technological developments that have happened in just the last 10 years in order to pull off this project in a way that, is economically feasible. And we will be seeing applications beyond just this pilot project that I think will allow us to, you know, communicate across great distances and see a lot more like what we see in Star Trek and Star Wars with holographic teleconferencing. Yeah.
Paul DeBevic, Associate Director of the University of Southern California's Institute for Creative Technologies. Paul, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Let's bring in Stephen Smith, Executive Director of the Shoah Foundation, also at the University of Southern California, as you just heard, their partners on this project, and their mission is to preserve the stories of Holocaust survivors. So, Stephen, you've seen the prototype. What do you think?
When I see this prototype and can dialogue with Pinchas person to person, it gives me a great deal of excitement about the future of continued dialogue.
Well, and here's another clip of the prototype of, again, Pinchas Guter.
Do you remember any songs from your youth?
This is a lullaby that my mother used to sing to me, and I still remember it. It's in Polish. Jadą dzieci, jadą drogą, siostrzyczka i brat, i nawidzić się nie mogą, Jaki piękny świat.
Miss Stephen Smith, it gives you chills, and we'll, you know, listeners can see the prototype online at hearnow.org. He's three-dimensional. he's sitting there, but I'm wondering a couple questions. Do you worry that when these survivors pass and we're seeing these holograms, it might seem somewhat ghoulish? And also that it might be missing that thing that you can only get when you're in the room with someone.
We accept very much that a person-to-person interaction is special to every single conversation that you ever have, and you can't replace that. And it's not ghoulish, because what we've done is spend a lot of time on the way in which it looks and feels, so that it's not like a kind of a haunted house type of look. It just looks like really, really super fantastic television and in 3D. Mm. So it's actually very impressive.
And how did you come up with the questions?
Well, at the USC Show Foundation, we already have 52,000 testimonies of Holocaust survivors from 56 countries in 32 languages. So we have a lot of experience in knowing what survivors want to talk about. We've also gone into schools and into universities, and we've monitored Holocaust survivors and taken note of the questions that students ask. They don't tend to ask the question, you know, what was the date in which you were put into a cattle car? What they tend to ask is, do you feel a sense of revenge for what happened to you? What about justice? Do you believe in God? And the big question they always ask is, how did you survive? They really want to know that.
Pinchas couldn't be with us today, but we're wondering, you know, about 500,000 Holocaust survivors still are with us worldwide, but their average age is 79. So, you know, we know that it's inevitable we're going to be losing them. How does he feel about being a part of this?
Well, he's very excited about that because, you know, right now he's in Poland with a group of young people, taking them around the places where he used to live and telling that story personally. But he knows that time is not going to be there for much longer. And he knows that by engaging in this, that we're going to continue the interactivity.
With the Holocaust hologram, you've talked about some of the questions, but what's the oddest or the one, the least expected question that you're making sure the holograms are asked?
The students want to know detail. How did you brush your hair? You can talk about death camps and cattle cars and deportation in ghettos, but still it hasn't sunk in that normal everyday things didn't happen. And in Pinchas's case, which is a fascinating one, his sister had a beautiful golden braid. And, of course, there was no way to wash her hair, and it was lice-ridden. And but her mother would spend every day picking out the lice and cleaning it with paraffin until it was clean again and disinfected, and then she would braid it again. And then there's an awful moment in his story when he says, and then we were separated, and that hair which my mother had cared for every day and allowed her to keep and hadn't shorn it off disappeared around the corner, and I had no idea what happened. And to this very day, all I can remember of her is her golden braid.
So a simple question, you know, how did you brush your hair, can lead to that story. Stephen Smith, executive director of the Shoah Foundation, again working on this project to create interactive holograms of Holocaust survivors so their stories will live on. Stephen, thanks for talking to us about it.
Thank you.
And the technology we've been talking about should be ready later this year or next and will eventually be available at museums across the country. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us to see what this week brings. Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.